It is time to get notified.
KUCI. It makes me wanna. 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 KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.
The views and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily represent those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents. For more information on this or other KUCI programs, visit kuci.org or kucitalk.org.
And good morning. This is Ryan Fullen, DJ Ginger MC, here at KUCI, and you are listening to Get Notified. I am very excited about today's show because we're talking about the amazing and dynamic topic of accounting. Yes, that is right. The one time per year that you dread admitting to your tax person or to yourself that you haven't had a budget and that you really don't know how much you're spending. And then it's maybe the most stressful 3 months of your life as you try to put everything together. But today, we will be talking about how accounting has so much to do with social media. And to me, that's exciting because if we can take something and connect the dots and then have a fun argument, maybe challenge Google, that's what we're all about here on the show. If it's your first time joining us, welcome. We are a show that helps you get better at social media, not be so frustrated at social media, and not be as confused with social media. Now, my guest today, he came here from somewhere far away because he's got some sort of an accent, which you will have to figure out for yourself. Maybe we'll play a little game called Guess the Accent. It is Amir Marmar. Today, we are going to learn about Amir, who is a fantastic person, by the way, because he sponsors the OC Tech Happy Hour, which is an amazing event here locally. If you don't know about it, you should find out about it. And we're going to take one of the most boring topics in the world, and we're going to heat it up. We're going to throw some spice on it and maybe a little bit of ginger, too. And before we get totally started, I'm looking at Mr. Matt. Matt, how are you doing this morning?
Very tired.
And why are you so tired?
Because I normally do not get up at this time, but I make an effort to see you in the morning, Ryan.
Thank you. See, I set you up. You were supposed to say tired because I was studying yesterday, and I was so stressed out because I set you up for this big news. Like, we're not going to talk about Chris Brown this morning. We're going to talk about you. What is the big news in the world of Matt?
I passed the test to get on air, so...
Yay! Matt passed the KUCI test. Woo!
I was hoping we were going to talk about Chris Brown.
No, well, we might. That has to do with accounting, too, I'm sure, because he's got to account for all the drugs and money that he's throwing out the back of a window.
Definitely true.
So, Amir, welcome to the show. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. I'm used to waking up pretty early. I got two little girls, so 5:30, 6 a.m. is usually the start of my day.
I like it. I do a daily Instagram quote. For those of you who want to follow on Instagram, that's at ryan.foland. And Foland is spelt just like Poland, but erased the middle of the P. And my quote the other day was, go to bed early, it's easier to wake up. So there you go, Matt. Go to bed earlier, and you can be all chirpy like Amir and I here.
I'll try. I'll try my best. I don't know how well this is going to work out, though.
I suggest you don't apply for a morning show.
Maybe mid-afternoon. That would be the best.
Totally.
Unless you have a kid, I mean, then just life becomes a little bit easier because they just program you. You have no choice. 3 a.m., 6 a.m., like it just gets erratic. But, you know, after that, just some morning coffee and you'll be fine.
Good. And if you're drinking coffee, I suggest Java Zen because it's a mix of coffee and tea and you get the coffee kick with the tea balance. Hashtag find your Zen.
Or a Keurig machine at home. It's pretty convenient. Kids are changed. You got to change diapers. You got to do some stuff. You run over a machine. You push a button and you go back to them, depending on where you're at in your life. So,
and whether or not that's a business write-off, we will learn later on today because today is all about accounting and what it does or doesn't have to do with social media. Amir, why did you choose such an amazing and exciting profession as accounting? And have you always been an accountant?
I always liked numbers when I was pretty young.
What's your favorite number?
My favorite number is 11.
Oh, I thought it was going to be 3 because that's my favorite number. That's cool.
No, it's 11. It's after a hockey player. I played some ice hockey. I also volunteered in New Jersey. I was a coach of kids of all ages. Mainly, I liked the younger ones. So I did 6 to 8-year-olds. I coached for... Last organization I coached was the New Jersey Rockets. we were the state champ runner-ups in New Jersey, out of the whole state. And actually, the organization was run by the Vanderbeeks, and he actually owns the New Jersey Devils.
Very cool. So, do you know that I'm a hockey player?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, I am a goaltender.
You're a goaltender.
Yeah, I'm small but scrappy. I was the fastest ginger in town. I'd take up hardly any area of the goal, and they'd come down the line and do whatever they could, but I'd snatch it out of the air, block it, or I would rob stobber them, and I'd meet them at the blue line. I'd take their legs out. They'd have no idea what hit them.
The scrappy part is kind of funny because I was kind of known for, let's see, when I was playing, leading the league in, like, penalty minutes type of stuff, throwing a trash can probably across. And then when I was a coach...
You threw a trash can?
I did. That happened once. And as a coach, too, I'm pretty adamant. And even with those guys, my 6 to 8-year-olds, I just get so in tune that, you know, I definitely had my share of... maybe one or two suspensions as a coach.
Now, that's the kind of accountant that I want. I want you to get pissed off, and I want you to throw a trash can if something doesn't go right. I want you to have no fear to throw some punches if somebody talks smack about my books. This is good.
Yeah, honestly, the premise actually of everything that drives me and actually does lead into the accounting, it's really the passion and the caring. You know, you meet a lot of these accountants, yeah, they're kind of bland, boring, monotone. You know, like, I want to kind of revolutionize that. Like, you know, we're kind of fun and... we do cool things, and so I'm kind of here to start this kind of trend revolution, and we'll get into my brand type of stuff in a little bit, but so I was always drawn to numbers, so I kind of, like, didn't know what I wanted to do still when I was in college, and then...
Where'd you go to college?
Baruch College. It's a pretty good business school in New York.
Cool.
It's not,
love New York.
Yeah.
Not as much as Irvine, though. Zot Zot, UCI, don't get jealous.
Might have just dropped a hint on my accent, but let's...
Oh, because we are playing Guess the Hint. Matt, have you figured it out yet?
I think it's New York. Could be wrong, though.
Survey says
correct. And if you would have met me like 8 years ago, my accent was probably like 10x. since we're counting, it's probably 10x stronger.
Okay, at the show, we have this term that I made up called GTO. And GTO means a grandma time out. So you just said 10x. GTO 10x. What does that mean if you had to explain that to your grandma? 10x.
10x? That means that anything that you can envision in whatever topic we're talking about, whether it's...
like your accent you're saying right
like
now.
Like my accent. Though basically it was about 10 times stronger. Or like if you say, like, I lost something and, you know, it's hurting me 10x. Like, yeah, that's like, I'm just like, I don't know, like miserable, I think. Is just...
So it's a multiple of 10.
It's a multiple.
Okay, you hear that, Grandma? So Grandma just she just texted me. She's curious to hear a 10x accent based on what you've got right now. Although that's not even... that's British. It has nothing to do with New York. New York.
We definitely don't want to bring up the 10x talking problem because there might be some words that...
Oh, okay, good. Yes, this is a public radio station, so I appreciate that. Grandma, we'll connect you with Amir offline. Okay, so back to your story.
Yes.
GTO 10X, that means you sort of toned down the accent and you like numbers.
Yeah.
What happened?
So I think I just defaulted myself. I was in business school. I mean, your choices were, you know, this finance, economics, like all these marketing. I mean, I just, you know, defaulted myself to accounting, and I thought, like, it's just worth a shot since I like numbers and statistics and stuff. So I kind of forced myself to get into it. I was in senior year. I was like the type of person that always asked questions because I always wanted to learn and know things. And my teacher liked that, and she recommended me for an internship that was paid. So I got my first job in accounting as I was a senior because I asked a lot of questions. So it was really, really good. I worked up the block from the Trade Center right before 9/11. I kind of like worked really hard for a year. I stood out, like a bunch of different departments kind of wanted me to get into theirs to become an analyst and stuff. And it became like a waiting game about converting me to like a full time. So I just decided I didn't want to wait, kind of live life like at the moment. Like, so
with
I just
passion, you're just rocking and rolling. You don't want to sit around.
Yep. So I left a week later. It was 9/11. Mm-hmm. And our building wasn't like directly hit, but it was so close. I used to take my train underneath. Definitely there was debris and stuff, and I went back and visited. It was definitely like an interesting tough time in New York, but it also showed the camaraderie and how people do come together, all people volunteering. And it was just also, you know, it was a very bad, but there was also a good, which was the post of people bonding.
And I think in general, when there's something that's so tragic like that, it is inspiring to see everyone come together. And the fact that good things come out of bad things is something that is human. And, you know, if you focus too much on the negativity, it's just a downward spiral. And you can't really live by passion unless you somehow have that type of positive outlook.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, like, sometimes you better off thinking about the next steps forward and the solutions rather focus on the problems. New York was definitely, you know, going through a big transition during that time. And then I later reconnected with my controller there, like a year later.
GTO controller.
Controller. So controller is someone who is pretty high up in the accounting infrastructure in an organization or a company. Usually the structure in normal corporations is you have your CFO as your chief financial officer, and he's at the and the second in command tends to be either like a vice president of or director of finance or a controller. So the second guy up, and then below that you have an accounting manager, and then below that is a bunch of clerks. The person that I worked with down by the Trade Center, he moved on to a different job, but he liked what I did. We reconnected, so he hired me at a different company. So I kind of kept my accounting career. I didn't like to stay at one place for a long time. I just wanted to become really diverse. I didn't want to have like a vertical where I always was like good in just one section of accounting. Right. So I bounced around a couple of different companies. We also had the blackout in New York that next year. So that was pretty interesting. Like, obviously, no one knew, right? It's a
year
here, later.
Here in Orange County in California, we only pay attention when it's news that actually hits the news. And then even then, we're probably at the beach or we're too concerned with what's going on in our own little bubble. But that's just us.
Yeah. And I mean, now that I'm out here, hey, you know, Huntington Beach, and, you know, I'm a big fan of the West Coast. You know, there's always people asking, what do you prefer now? Now I do like it out here a lot better than over there. But
I'd love to be bi-coastal. I'd love to spend the time that it's cold, I'd like to spend that here and then just kind of visit otherwise. I think that's cool.
Get the snow aspect, but the culture and the people in New York are like the best.
Yeah.
I do
very fast paced. No messing around.
No, we're pretty direct, and that's kind of one of my qualities, I would say. I'm
just passionate and direct.
Yes, it's definitely good. You just cut out a lot of the meat and you get a lot more done that way.
And this is actually interesting because I'm looking for all these accounting analogies, and it's almost as though New Yorkers have stricter accounting with the words that they choose. They're more direct. There's not as much fluff. Their books are probably cleaner. There's no nonsense, and they're more to the point.
Yes.
So as an accountant, you are actually showing this profession in the way that you communicate, in the way that you directly interact with people, and you're not sort of fluffing around. I like that.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of like a mixture of nature versus nurture. There was definitely stuff that I would push myself to, and there was also that nurture I got by being taught by New Yorkers. There was kind of like a blend where, you know, given a little bit of rope, you know, shown like, hey, you're supposed to do things this way and that way, but then I put my own spin on it. You know, one of the things in business is you don't want to do what you're just told, because if you always do that, you're never thinking about outside the box, you're never going to innovate, and you're never going to get better. So if you're just showing a process and you're just doing it, you become more like a robot. I mean, that's something that I wasn't passionate about. I wanted to stand out. And I kind of like figured out ways in every company that I worked for in corporate is how to add value to an organization. I mean, that's kind of one of the keys to business, whether it's accounting, I mean, in life and anything. Like, you just don't want to be like a bottom level guy. At least I was, and I was really passionate to be different. I just figured out ways to differentiate myself and add value.
So this is an interesting concept, again, for the social media component, right? Just as though you are an employee in an organization, and you don't necessarily want to be the low man on the totem pole. And how are you doing that? You're innovating, you're questioning what's going on, and you're getting noticed. That's very relevant for social media. If you're just low man on the totem pole, whatever platform, and you're not innovating, and maybe you're not taking risks, and you're not delivering valuable content, you said you want to deliver value to an organization. And I would argue that in social media, you want to deliver value to your audience. There's too many people that are just low-level, quote-unquote, employees on their social media, and they're not going above and beyond. They're not getting noticed, and that's probably why they're not getting as much of a following. Would you agree with that concept?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they're probably just lacking, like, passion or something, but if I was, like, focusing...
What does passion have to do with social media?
I mean, passion has to do with you, right? You create a brand for yourself, because social media, you know, you could be a thought leader or whatever. It's ultimately you're creating your own profile. So whether people are these SEO experts, these marketing consultants and whatever. The world that we live in right now, it's crazy. It's not like I was like 20 years ago pre this internet kind of launch or whatever, but like every little thing you do, it's like there's always someone watching these days. So it's almost like no matter what you do, it's going to get out there. But there's just a lot of these low level type of people, and they just,
the mentality, right? They're not low-level people, but the mentality is
the mentality. They just, honestly, they just become comfortable with where they're at, and that so goes contra to the business practices that I preach and mentor with some of the companies that I work with. You know, like, say, like, a social media expert or someone that's just building their following, and they set their goal, and they're like, okay, like, we're going to set my internal goal to make X amount of money, build, you know, a following of whatever. And then when they meet that goal, they kind of flatline and they stop because they don't want to keep pushing and pushing and pushing. So in business, like, even if you're starting a business, let's just take like a random example. You're a guy that's used to making like 40, 50,000 a year, and then you start a business and your first year you're making 100. What tends to happen with people is now they're like double their money. They're so excited. They're comfortable and they keep carrying out operations at that specific level. But what they need to start thinking when they make 100 is how do you get to 200? And then when they get to 200, how do you get to 500? Because if you let off the gas, you may miss that bubble and that timing of accelerated growth. And people don't get that. So they'll make 100 and then they'll just cruise control. They may go out partying and kind of just enjoying life, but really, like, it depends what your goals are, if you're motivated for success. And you don't have to be money-driven, because I'm not money-driven. I just want to see, like, the people that I work with, too, and the projects that I take on. I just want to see my customers, and I call them business partners, because I'm a people person. I want to see them succeed. So if you just get comfortable, I mean, this goes to social media. You know, once they grow their following to a certain extent, they just stop like focusing on growing their following because they're just satisfied. The only two things that can happen from there is you flatline or you start going downwards. And then when you go downwards, guess what? You're going to run out of money, and then you're going to have to figure out, okay, what's the next thing that I need to do at? So they always need to stay driven. They always need to figure out, you know, how to add value. They always need to figure out how to add additional services than what they're currently doing. And then basically just focus on growth every day. And they'll be successful if they do it. And social media, pretty much the same thing. Just have goals like, hey, I want to grow my following by 500. When you get there, don't stop. Now I want to grow it by 1,000. Now I want to go into the startup vertical. I was doing like LinkedIn. Now I want to focus on Twitter, or I want to go into Facebook. There's just so many different things out there.
I am just drooling over here because that was such a cool little blurb. That was realistic, it was inspirational, and it was as though you're sitting across a table from an accountant who has your best interest, literally saying from the book's perspective, which is exciting because you're dealing with your customers, which you call your business partners. Yeah. And for all of you out there, that's an interesting type of choice words. I have business partners because you want to see your clients succeed. And you're basically saying if you were at 40 and you make 100, you can become comfortable, and then that's where the growth stops. So you've got to grow every day. You've got to have a growth mentality. You can't just all of a sudden go out and start partying when you make money. You've got to figure out how to just continually make more money. And you are self-admittedly not money-driven, but you probably have those same goals from a passion standpoint to help more people and make more of an impact.
Yes, yes. That's like my number one motivator. Again, like, look, accounting, like, what's the first thing you think about in accounting? You think money, right?
Yeah, I just thought of boredom.
Yeah, and boredom. Or so frustration. We're going to try to change that. You know, I'm on this movement, or at least we'll be starting it soon. But first thing people equate is money, and, you know, I do deal with it. So feel just being around in the industry and having dealt with a lot of different scenarios, you do run into these overly, I don't know, emphatic people that are just constantly just focused on the money itself. But to me, I'm more focused on success and goal setting. And it's not, money's part of life, but you can't really take money to the grave type of thing. So just focus on being happy and figuring out what those goals are. While money's part of it, yeah, I'm going to need money to provide my family and my kids with, you know, a decent life and schooling. But I mean, we're here at UCI too. I mean, education, again, was extremely important. That schooling really helped me kind of get in the right direction. And going back, I think, too, when we're talking about, like, in New York, so, like, you know, I kind of lived that corporate lifestyle pretty much like 2005 and 2006, and then decided to do this pivot, kind of like
GTO pivot.
So pivot is a term that you can basically explain if you're like a startup. You know, startups tend to pivot sometimes. You can pivot as a person. Pivot is just pretty much a change of plan. In the startup world, in tech startups, they usually have a concept. And a lot of these companies that exist today at some point probably changed their concept along the way that made them successful. So it's kind of like you got to know when you need to do it. So for me, it wasn't like kind of that pivot. For me, it was like, okay, I was this accountant, and then I got drawn in by this kind of poker craziness, that boom that happened in the early 2000s. There was Chris Moneymaker. He was an accountant.
Wait, his name was Moneymaker?
His last name is Moneymaker, and he's an accountant.
Is that made up?
No, that's true. His name is Chris Moneymaker, and he won the World Series of Poker. I believe it was like 2003, and that kind of started this poker boom, and it started getting on ESPN and stuff. So, hey, you know, an accountant that kind of did something. Poker became crazy. I started to play locally. I was doing pretty well, and I just decided, like, hey, like, I'm just going to do it and just quit my job in corporate New York and packed up my car and just moved to Vegas, not knowing anybody there, and played poker for a living for, you know, quite
you
a
really,
bit.
You were that guy that packed up and went to Vegas and just started playing poker.
Yeah, just literally just
Matt
did
is
it.
So jealous. He is nodding his head. Are you excited about that, Matt?
That's the dream right there.
Kind of. There's good and there's definitely bad. But
see, you're an accountant. You're good with numbers. Were you card counting? What was your advantage?
Well, there's other dynamics are involved. I had to obviously tell my parents about this life pivot, so they weren't too thrilled. I mean, people associate poker as gambling, but I actually looked at it as a profession because, you know, you think poker, right? You think it's gambling, right, Ryan? Do you think you feel it's gambling?
Like, I think poker is gambling because there's a good chance I'm going to lose my money. And for me personally, maybe that's just a skill level. Matt, do you play poker?
A little bit.
Do you consider poker gambling?
If I play with my own money, yeah.
I like it with my own money.
I'm going to ask you a question then. If you're a day trader, are you gambling?
Yes. But with other people's money.
No, but sometimes it's your own, because you're your own day trader.
I think investing to some extent is gambling. You have to be a risk, you know, you have to understand the risk, and you are... Okay, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Is social media-ing gambling?
My thing is, I think everything's a gamble. Business or anything, there's always a risk and reward to anything. So I have like my own philosophies and approaches to these things. So I think everything's a gamble. Like, what you choose to be a career is a gamble. Whether you go into an event or like...
Is gambling inherently good or bad, or that's just part of life?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, people perceive gambling as bad, and I think poker for me became my profession. So just like you play chess and your pieces, you know, are the chess pieces on the board, my pieces were money. So I didn't want to equate that with gambling, and I had a job. You know, it was definitely an interesting time. Like, you know, I got my own place, and I did like the tournament scene, and I played tournaments that the entry fee was like $10,000 or $25,000 just to enter type of thing.
Wow.
So I was doing some high stakes.
Did you ever win any of those?
No, not the big ones, unfortunately. You know, fortunately, it wasn't. I would say that definitely over my career, now I play, you know, kind of like on the side. When you get, like, there's no passion for me anymore. Like, you know, I'll play maybe 2-3 tournaments
a year. Wait a minute. There's no passion for you anymore?
When it comes to poker, I kind of flushed the system. Like, now it becomes more of like a hobby where... There isn't that time, right? When you have a family, a business, and other requirements. You just, you know, it's kind of actually, let's go back to business. Like, prioritization is extremely important. And I think that people lack prioritization skills, and they tend to do some lower level tasks, like, because it's easier in life, and they never get around sometimes to doing the harder ones. But prioritization is really important. So my priorities are pretty set these days when it comes to where I'm at. It's family at the top, my business second. And some extracurricular activities where there isn't that much time left.
Like OC Tech Happy Hour third, maybe?
Like OC Tech Happy Hour. I do love going to that event. I agree there. So, yeah, I mean, there is that risk, right? I mean, you're putting your money in play, but you know, poker is, you know, it's, for me, it was a profession. I didn't look at it as a gambler. Other people always argued, and I got into this discussion, but kind of always said, hey, what about day traders? And they always considered them as professionals. So it was always interesting discussions on deep levels that we had with people. So once I kind of cleared that out of my phase, you know, I went back to accounting, which is what I was actually passionate about. And I formed my own company at the end November of 2012, and I really left, did another pivot, right? So pivot is I made another big change. I was used to this corporate environment setting. I've never kind of taken the other risk to just become an entrepreneur. I didn't know, like, you're gonna make mistakes and stuff, but I did the same. I just did it. Like, I just quit my job like one day and I said, I'm gonna just start my own company.
I think people are inspired, but they're also scared at the same time. To hear somebody who is driven by passion, that is good with numbers, builds relationships, sees everything as a gamble, is comfortable pivoting, but still has their priorities straight. You're like a sailboat with a very deep keel that's very aggressive and can tack right up into the wind.
I'll take your word on that. I'll have to jump on a sailboat.
It's my show, so you can't argue with me unless I say so.
All right. I will not be doing any arguing, and we won't be dropping the gloves.
Now, if you're just joining us, and we'd be dropping the gloves. Remember, I've got a blocker. For those of you who don't know ice hockey, that blocker is like the ultimate face puncher. Like, bam.
And your stick is a lot thicker than mine, so you have a lot of advantages.
You know what? Let's not go there. This is a public radio.
That's true.
That was the first time I saw you smile on it. Maybe that was on an accident. But look, this is a PG show here, and you're listening to Get Notified. It's to help you get better at social media. It's help you understand social media and maybe not be so frustrated by it. Today's guest, Amir Marmar, is talking about accounting. We're relating all this back to social media because it's a social media based show. How do we get out there and find you? Because I've been tweeting up a storm. I've been doing some serious tweets about what you've been saying. And if you want to go on Twitter, you can follow me at Ryan Folland. You can hear some of these wisdom truths. People perceive gambling as bad. Everything is a gamble. There's always risk and reward. Dash at JFDI Accountants, hashtag truth at KUCI FM. You become satisfied with where you are. If you become satisfied with where you are, you will either flatline or go downwards. You must stay driven. And then my customers are my business partners because I want to see them succeed. It's hailing truth bombs up in here. How do we find you online so that people can learn more about, follow you, and then we'll continue on with some of these accounting lessons and how they relate to social media?
Yeah, I mean, online. So I have a website, JFDIAccountants, plural with an S, .com. Sure, you can pretty much Google just Amir Marmar. And
you're on LinkedIn too?
Yeah, LinkedIn. I've been on this new... So let's talk about social media a little bit. So
yeah.
Since this is the social media show...
Get notified.
I was definitely more operations driven for like 3 to 4 years. And recently, meaning in the last like 2-3 months, I really started focusing on my marketing because I've never done any. I've kind of grown organically, which is great. Like grassroots marketing, referrals is still like the number one, like lead gen. Accounting's a profession where there's trust and stuff. So you can't just say like, hey, here's my bank account, here's my social, and like, right, I want to take you on when they don't even know you. So there's definitely some build up that you have to take. But I've been focusing on my LinkedIn. Someone told me I should do it. So my mentality is, have you learned just to do it? So my friend said, hey, like your LinkedIn looks pretty horrible, pretty much.
That's what friends are for.
And you may know him. He runs OC Tech Happy Hour.
Mr. Lee Decker. Hi, Lee.
So, yeah. Hi, Mr. Lee. So he couldn't believe my results since he's told me to do it. I've had about 150 connections about 2 weeks ago, and I'm over 1,500.
Wow.
Because I just started focusing. I created... Mr. Lee helped me do a nice creative. I got some recommendations because I had, you know, people I've done so much for. I've just never focused on the social media aspect. So now,
in less than 2 weeks, coming from somebody who's typically been a referral-based business booster, you, let's say in less than 2 months, you've grown connections on LinkedIn to over 1,500 individuals.
Yeah, it was probably over a period of 2 to 3 weeks.
Two to 3 weeks?
Yeah.
holy moly macaroni, pants on fire.
Started studying some stuff on the web. See, the web is pretty good. Like, you can research growth methods, growth hacks, and other things. Social media is important, though. So I think it's an area that I neglected, but it wasn't like, I wasn't like ready. There was just a lot where I had to be operationally involved, running a lot of my projects on hand. I do have a team of 2-3 people that work for me, and now I'm finally able to start growing my following, growing and creating this thought leadership. And that's why I'm here as well, to actually talk. I do want to, you know, pass on some lessons that I think I've learned. It's interesting because what I do now, like, say you work in a corporate environment, right? You're always constricted because you're working on one project. But because I'm balancing 10 to 15 projects, let's get out that multiplier. My growth as far as experience is like 10 to 15x, because I'm now doing 15 sets of books or even more than just one.
So, and you're able to look into the books and see what's working and see how much money they're making. So being an accountant, that helps get you more business experience. Is that what you're saying?
It does, because I'm also dealing with companies in different industries. So some, you know, I'm learning, like, you know, a lot of my business partners, you know, are like
AKA customers.
Customers.
How sweet of you.
Are tech startups. But I also have others, like, where, you know, like brick and mortar, like high luxury car rentals. So I know different industries, and it makes you more diverse. And the more diverse you are, the more you can take on. And again, you can continue to scale and grow your company.
Now let's go back to LinkedIn real quick. You said something that stuck out, and that was, I wasn't ready for it. And I want to talk about this for a moment, because social media isn't just something you need to jump on, or you should jump on, or that you have to jump on. It's got to be the right timing. So here you are, somebody from an accountant in New York to building relationships with controllers, and that relationship helps you to land other jobs, and then you stop and you become a professional poker player, and then you jump back into accounting. But you had success throughout that time without social media. It was there, and maybe you just weren't doing it very well, or you were doing it horribly.
Wasn't focused on it.
There came a time when you said, hey, my friend said this is terrible. I look terrible. It's not, you know, not maybe horrible. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to use the word terrible. So in a very short amount of time, you have gotten maybe more traction than some people that I know that have been working on it halfway for a long time.
Yeah, I just decided to, again, just shift my mind and really dedicate and be passionate now about the social media space. It's just part of the LinkedIn growth. I've met, like, some really interesting people. So again,
who's the most interesting person you've met? Ooh,
I mean, I just added 1,500 in a short amount of time. So I could say that I've taken a couple calls with people I connected with, like a CEO at some company, someone that focuses on outside marketing consulting that I might actually hire for my company. I've definitely made, like, a lot of connections, and I think part of social media is that.
Okay, hold on a second. We got a caller. This might be an actual mistake. They might be calling for the station, but maybe it's somebody calling in to talk with us. This is exciting. Hello, this is Ryan on Get Notified. Okay, she wants to get a transferred to accounts payable. You are in luck because we have an accountant in studio, but unfortunately we're live here on the radio. Is it like an accounting question? If I patched you in live on air, you'd want to talk with an accountant who is not from KUCI? No? Oh, okay. All right, well then, maybe call back a little bit later on the day. There will be somebody manning the phones. But I appreciate the call. I was excited. I thought you might have wanted to talk live on air. Are you sure you don't want to? We're talking. Do you want to join us for a little bit? Okay. Okay, well, go make the other 20 calls. Be passionate about what you're doing. And remember, your customers are your business partners, because you want to see them succeed. All right. Well, thanks for calling. And, you know, maybe you can call back later when you have more time and join us on air. All right. Thanks. Bye. Well, that was fun and kind of ironic, but she was looking for accounts payable.
Yeah. I mean, I could probably handle it on behalf of UCI. I don't have any money to pay her right now.
Hey,
it's,
you know,
usually
what?
The bill paying.
Now I'm a little disappointed because I got all excited. So if you do want to call up and phone a friend, and the friend is an accountant, if you have some wacky accounting question, go ahead and call KUCI right now. 949-824-5824. That's 949-824-5824. Should come up with a jingle. And all questions welcome. You just can't swear online, and you can't be indecent. Back to reality.
To LinkedIn.
Back to LinkedIn. GTO LinkedIn. I want to know how, in one sentence, you would describe LinkedIn.
LinkedIn is just, to me, a professional business social network.
Professional business social network.
It's so pretty targeted and focused.
What do you think about students being on LinkedIn?
I think it should be good for them. I think they should be on LinkedIn because even when people are interviewing these days, and I do also, like, besides accounting, I also do, like, HR and payroll. So, and I've interviewed well, but LinkedIn, I mean, social media, people will go on it to, you know, basically
check you out, cyber stalk you, essentially.
I don't think they're technically maybe should be or allowed to, but, you know, it definitely gets done.
In the nicest way possible. Like, I say cyber stalk with all the, you know, in a non-pejorative way, where they're going to go check you out. And it's good to have them go check out your LinkedIn versus maybe your Facebook, because it creates more of a professional environment.
Yeah, I mean, Facebook, they're going to have to get around, like, you know, getting you added and stuff like that. But LinkedIn, there's definitely some visibility from a public profile perspective. And I think that people should focus on presenting themselves pretty strongly and accurately, of course, because I've interviewed so many people where they're just basically fluffing it up, and you can kind of read through it. So just be honest in life too. Just be yourself. That's kind of part of my culture and my mentality at work, is you just have to be you. And I want to build my company, my brand, not being somebody else. Again, that stuff that we said earlier, a lot of people are given a task and they're just doing things. Like, one of my biggest pet peeves is people always doing things because that's how it's always been done. That's really, really bad, I think, for business, because then otherwise we're never going to innovate. Like, if we're just always doing how other people are doing it. And it's relative to accounting as well. You know, sometimes you inherit other accountants' work and you get these budget files, and, you know, basically they're teaching you to do it how they were doing it. But who says that they were doing it correctly, right? So you have to be like a human being and not like a robot, and really be able to apply your skill set to really figure out, one, how should it be done? Like, start thinking about these tasks. Like, how should it be done? Okay, if it was done correct, can we make it better? And not just say, okay, this is what I'm going to do type of stuff. Again, I think the premise is just don't do things just because it's been done that way. That's definitely pretty wrong, I think, from my perspective.
And sometimes the best obvious is the most obvious advice. One of my favorite quotes is, people become successful not because they're doing things that others aren't doing. It's that they are doing things that others can do but are not. And it's really this idea of it's not rocket science to be successful. You, in 2 weeks, it wasn't rocket science for you to be have significant traction on LinkedIn. It's just that you're doing certain things. I want to know the top three growth hack strategies that you found as a novice and learning expertise from other marketeers. What are some of the top things that you did on LinkedIn that I'm going to try to do when I go home so I can get, you know, accelerate my growth on LinkedIn?
Okay.
Are these trade secrets? Is this stuff you can share with everybody?
No, I mean, it's on the web. It's kind of that thing. You just need to know what to search for. It's so, the biggest growth hack, you just have to type in your browser and you Google, like, growing LinkedIn connections hack.
Wait a minute. So we're back to Google. Yesterday we got in a big fight with Google. You're saying that you use Google to type in growth hack strategies for LinkedIn.
I did. You just type in, like, growing your LinkedIn connections hack.
Growing your LinkedIn. I misspelled your
LinkedIn connections
hack.
And you'll probably, if you show
me... Wait, there's only 1,160,000 results in 0.55 seconds.
It's pretty optimized. It should probably be the top.
Okay, so a little known LinkedIn connections hack.
It should be. Let me see. If you show me, if you show me your screen, I'll be able to pinpoint.
Okay, you take control of that. Ladies and gentlemen, the stupid box has changed hands from me to my guest. And actually, this is a great photo because literally I am taking a picture of you. And we've got the KUCI on there. Oh, Matt, your hand was awkward. And you're come on, get in here, Matt. There you go. Smile. Yeah. So we do take pictures here. It's live, and we can tweet them out. So tell me what's going on here.
So basically, one of the articles, and I can point out to you, there is like a code that's in there. So what you do is you go on your LinkedIn page.
Like a secret code?
Yeah, so I'll tell you how it works, and then you guys can read the content on the actual site. But
wait, should we Facebook Live this so that everybody can get this amazing knowledge?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so what is GTO Facebook Live?
Facebook Live, it's kind of the new up and coming where you can pretty much like just stream video and pretty much like publish yourself as almost like a TV station of what's going on here.
All right, so I'm using, hopefully I spelled this right, and I can always go back and edit, which is cool. So I've got LinkedIn secret hacks from an accountant on...
I told you we're going to revolutionize accounting. You know, we don't want to be boring, and it's too boring then.
All right, on Get Notified, I'm going to go live. 3, 2, 1. Yeah, there was a countdown, but I wasn't ready because that's just how it was. We are here live at KUCI, and I have an amazing guest who's about to give us a crazy hack for LinkedIn that has gotten him more than 1,500 followers in the last 2 weeks.
Yep.
And here we go. I'm going to turn the facing camera. Say hi, Amir.
Hello, hello.
Say hi, Matt.
It's good.
It's good. Oh my gosh. We need to work on that. But it's okay. You're a personality now. So we're here on KUCI, and Amir, we were talking about these hacks for LinkedIn. Tell us about the hacks. Well, first of all, he made us go to Google
and type in this LinkedIn connections hack. And
wait a minute. LinkedIn connection. Oh, guess who just joined us? Lee just joined us. Lee. Amir here is telling us that you literally told him his LinkedIn was horrible and he got to it. So it says, what does that actually say? Wait, it says LinkedIn connection hack. Okay, so that's the first step, LinkedIn connection hack. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. And it's the first, the very first article that pops up.
Okay.
Mr. Lee guided me in that right direction over there. And then basically what it is you... take a little script of code that's in that article. You go to your LinkedIn, you go to your connections, and you go to the people you may know section.
Okay.
So it's people that are basically connected through someone that you know. And all you have to do is it'll populate about 9 or 12 on your screen at a time, and you just scroll your little arrow down as much as you want so more people keep populating. While you can visibly see 12, as you scroll down, it's almost like you're queuing them up. So while you can do like 200 or 300, and then pretty much like you right click on your browser, typically you want to use Chrome, and you hit inspect to actually inspect the coding of the web page, and then you go into the console. And basically all you do is you paste the code in there, you hit enter, and it pretty much sends like 300-400 invites, if that's how many people are queued up, in a span of like 20 seconds. So like every day, I don't know, about like I'm getting about 200 to 250 people that are accepting me. Maybe because I have a cool title like founder or CEO. I'm not sure. Maybe it's because they think accounting's not boring. I don't know. I'm just getting, and me and Lee have a challenge now of who's going to get to 3,000 connections first.
Hey, can I join the competition?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm on. So I'm going to go to Google and...
You're
going to... is it how to hack LinkedIn connections Medium?
LinkedIn, yeah, the Medium
one.
Yeah,
okay, so, I love Medium. You should follow me on Medium too. It's at Ryan Follen. Okay, how to hack LinkedIn connections steps. Oh my gosh, the steps are right there.
Yeah.
So I'm logged in. So if I just go here. Okay, now what?
So first you want to copy that code that's in that.
Where's the code?
It's in the Medium. It's on step 4 or 5.
Oh, okay, yeah. Whoa, look at this. This is pretty crazy. Okay, I'm going to copy the code.
It says something like 500 interval type of stuff.
Okay. Oh, this is next level stuff.
This is next level stuff. This is amazing. And if you want to follow this yourself, all you have to do is, well, you can watch my Facebook Live. We're doing this live. This is Facebook Live Inception, people. Actually, come over here. Will you?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Actually, here, no. You take my computer. Okay. Take my computer, because this is good branding. Okay, good. So, ladies and gentlemen, the accountant Amir, I'm going to stand up. This is incredible. He is hacking my LinkedIn right now. The code is pasted on the on there right now.
No, we're going to paste it. I'll show you.
Okay, he said we're going to paste it.
I'm just going to go down like this.
All right, he's going to go down, scrolling down. For those of you who are just listening, we are live in studio. Matt is so excited he got off his microphone as well.
Click inspect.
Okay, click inspect.
So you can see the code of the...
Oh my gosh, this is total hacker stuff.
And then you go to the console.
And then you go to the console up at the top. Okay.
And now we need to...
If you're missing this, you can go to Facebook Live. You can find me, Ryan Folland.
Paste the code in there.
Paste the code in there.
Wait,
Oh, I did. It's just do a paste. So hit control, hit the mouse button. Okay, and then select paste. Oh my gosh, this is rad. Okay, hit enter.
Watch this.
Oh my gosh.
They're all getting invites.
Right? Oh my gosh, all these people are getting invites right now. Holy moly, macaroni, sauces, and
done.
Cheese on fire.
You're done.
Okay, go back to the microphone. Go back to the microphone. This is crazy. Okay, so we're gonna turn this around here, and we're gonna wrap
this
up.
There you go.
If you are just joining us, Amir here. Look, this is good. Look at this placement here, product placement. Amir here at KUCI. I'm officially standing up because I'm so excited. He just helped me go online to Google. Google, I'm sorry because I got in a fight with you yesterday. And today, I'm using you for a Medium article. And then we went into my LinkedIn. We hacked the code. And literally, I now have all kinds of people that... Are they going to find me or what happened?
They're just getting invitations from you. I think we sent 363 of them. So
Wait a minute. We just sent 363 LinkedIn invitations in less than...
I don't know.
30 seconds.
Yeah, 30 seconds or so. And I was honestly, I've been doing
this.
Look
at you. Look at the smirk on your face right now.
Once a day. But honestly, again, it kind of goes back to stuff that we were talking about. Like, I became like obsessive with this newfound like social media and challenges that I sought out the advice and direction from the appropriate people.
Okay.
So Lee Decker did definitely show me this.
And he's watching on Facebook Live right now. You want to give him a shout out?
I do. Lee, thank you for the hack. I'm going to beat you to the 3K, I think. You're going to owe me lunch. But that's what it takes, guys. Like, it takes like knowing, like one thing we didn't talk about is like building your own network.
Here, look at the Facebook Live camera. That was awkward. There we go.
Yeah, I mean, it's important to build your network.
Yeah, I'm going to pass this off to Matt. Matt, we need another angle.
Yeah. It's really like part of business is really building up your network.
Part of business is building up your network.
You have to have a diverse network.
And I might have 361 more people in my network now.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully if like 50% of them like accept, then you'll be in good shape. And then if you do it once a day, you'll just kind of grow. Obviously, you could do more targeted
but that's
growth.
Okay.
Because you can actually go in search bars on LinkedIn and type in zip codes and like certain things like communications or whatever. But I'm saying it's like, I didn't know anything about this like 2-3 weeks ago. And that's how I do it. Like when I get my mind to a challenge or a task, I want to learn as much as I can. And it's that passion and drive not to just be ordinary, but be extraordinary. You find the right people that can actually guide you in the right direction. So I definitely didn't create these codes or didn't know about them.
Yeah,
but
the one of the most important people in your network is Google.
Is Google.
So this is a good hack for everybody out there. Use Google. Hashtag Google I love you today because you're helping me make more of a connection. Any final words for our Facebook Live followers there, and then we'll go back to just a live radio station instead of a live radio station on internet live on live streaming liveness of live. Hashtag live. Talk to the camera. Make it special for them. But stay in the microphone.
Final words is, I mean, I know we're talking social media, accounting and everything, but it really is like one of the main things is just be focused, set your goals, and basically try to scale and succeed as a self-fulfilling prophecy. Don't do it for other people, but do it more for yourself and then others. You'll attract the right people that way.
Yeah, do it. And listen to Kit. Oh, did you end it?
No, not yet.
Oh, put it over here on me and listen to Get Notified every Tuesday and Wednesday here at KUCI, and you can live stream it. If you like this little snippet of information every week here, we're bringing you awesome guests. That's my shameless plug. Find me on Twitter at Ryan Folland. Find me on Instagram at Ryan.Folland. And we're done. Cut. Exit. But we're not done here at the radio show. We still have about 4 to 5 minutes left.
Okay.
That was so cool.
Yeah.
I feel so excited. Like, if you can't tell, I'm normally pretty fiery, but now I'm like, I'm on fire.
An accountant that knows social media, I guess. You know, who'd have thunk it?
Well, let's talk about your branding, because I think that's also fun. When I saw JFDI Accountants, I was like, oh my gosh, another big acronym. Is that this guy? Does he have two middle names? Is that why he's so cool?
I started the company in November of 2012, and I keep driving that mentality of like, just do it. That's how I've always been. I mean, kind of stands for just frankly do it, I guess.
Are you sure that it's just frankly? I mean, I gave you instructions specifically not to cuss, so are you Are you fibbing?
We are on a radio show. So, I mean, maybe. I mean, actually.
So, our listeners can use their imagination. Just frankly do it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm transparent. So, I mean, they can just Google the acronym JFDI if they're interested. But it does have a mentality behind it. And it's pretty interesting. It's like a following. It's about, like, people that just actually get stuff done. And actually, if they Google that term and acronym, they can read some stories. Interesting one that I read about the JFDI mentality. And the just doing it part of it, or frankly, or whatever you want to call it, was like someone like created this like 180-day challenge, and kind of like me in social media, I didn't know like much how to do things, but it was a girl, and she basically wanted to learn how to develop websites. So she basically just did it and basically researched the web.
And talked to our friend Google.
Google. Every day she built a website for 180 days.
Wow.
And she just did it. And the mentality was, in the beginning, she was pretty horrible and her sites like were pretty terrible.
Like your LinkedIn was horrible.
Exactly. But as time went by, she learned code herself. She self-taught herself because she just did it. And then she just got better and better. And by the time the challenge ended, her self-challenge, I mean, she was like a web developer that was better than, you know, 90%. So it's just that mentality of just doing it. And then I brought that into the accounting practice. You know, one thing that's been kind of overlooked and how like you grow organically, like, and people aren't like great at it these days is really communication. And that's kind of what we're here as well. People lack in communication skills, to be honest.
You're telling me, you're preaching to the choir. That's the problem that I try to solve in the world. I think the biggest problem people have is their inability to communicate in a short amount of time.
Yeah, I mean that and responsiveness. So like I kind of hate it when you go on sites or whatever and it's like, okay, we got your email, we'll get back to you in 40. No, I want an answer like in 10 minutes. I don't want you to get back to me in like 2-3 days. So part of my building blocks of my company was, and you know, I do manage 10 to 15 projects, but I do answer all my emails. I am responsive. I can call, like, you know, there's a lot of ways, but that's been one of my building blocks as to how I became, because you basically build the dependability that you're there. I mean, that's what people are looking for.
Say that again. You build the dependability.
Dependability, and that people know that you're always there when they actually need them to be there.
That might be my quote for the day that I draw. So build
accountability and dependability.
Accountability, build dependability by accountability and snargability.
Yeah,
something. We're gonna work on this offline, and then I'm inspired to create a quote today around this. Just do it mentality. Don't be afraid to go out there. If you don't have a bunch of followers, go to Google and search how to get more followers. And a hack is not a bad thing, right? A hack is just a more efficient way of doing things.
Yeah, I mean,
like, there's nothing unethical about using technology on a technology platform to get in front of more people at all. I mean, that's like, I just want people to know hacking is not a bad thing. In fact, that term has sort of been brought back.
It's just a growth hack. So it's not a bad, it's not bad. It's just, it's helping you not click a button 500 times and it's an automated function.
361 times. Because I mean, I'm just keeping you honest as an accountant. Well, let's make sure we get our numbers straight.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not on the audit part right now, but I think it was three. If we want to get technical, I think it was 363 to be exact. I definitely have a photographic memory when it comes to numbers, but yeah, I mean, like, you just have to build, like, you know, your brand, like, needs to stand for something. Like, too many people just start companies and they're pretty crappy at it, to be honest. Like, you just, you know, like, because they don't care. Like, they're there for themselves to make money. And for me, it's more the opposite. I want to see them make money.
And the last thing I want to end on here is this personal brand, because I believe your business is worth nothing if nobody knows who you are. And so many times the failure rate is 95% for business owners to last for 5 years. It's probably more than that. And that if you accept the fact that you might fail, but you don't invest in your own personal brand, the challenge is when your brand of your company fails, all that goes out the window.
Yep.
And so I would encourage everyone to take a hard look in the mirror and ask yourself if you are actively working on your brand online. And there's a lot of ways to grow that brand. A lot of it is just being authentic and being yourself online. So get on LinkedIn. Just frankly do it, whatever it is that you're trying to do.
JFDI.
JFDI, hashtag JFDI. And yeah, call your grandma as well. Go play poker. Remember, gambling is not bad because life is a gamble. Stick around for Writers on Writing. This has been amazing, a lot of fun. And I now have more friends online than I did when I started. And I encourage everybody to go check out my Facebook so you can watch that Facebook Live. All right, this is Get Notified, and I am notifying you that I am logging out. And I'm going to click this button here, and I'm going to turn this, and here we go, guys. Rock on. Have a great day.